A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and he spoke to them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding yourself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for terms of peace. In the same way, anyone among you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. It's a strange gospel we have today, coming from the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. There are pieces of this found in chapter 10 in Matthew. Otherwise, the language of this text, which we have today, is not found anywhere in Mark or in John. It's severe language, and in order to look at this in some kind of an exegetical way, we would require a one-hour class reflecting on the Jewish Gospel of Matthew and how these words are ascribed to Jesus. They are the remembered sayings of Jesus under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We would have to discuss the environment and the Semitic context in order to begin to grasp the true meaning of how you fit these severe words of discipleship into the teaching of Jesus. So I'll settle for the statement, which is the fundamental concept here, of surrender, of renunciation, of detachment, as a manner leading us to true freedom, the freedom of discipleship. So we'll concentrate on that and see how this word of God speaks to us in our own place in our lives today. During the summertime, I had this downtime which allowed me more time to read and to reflect. Summertime provides that kind of relaxed environment where you kind of think more about issues in your life, and you begin to reflect on what is important and what is not important in the journey of life. I began to reflect to myself on the meaning of my life. What's the meaning of my life? What's the meaning of your life? Are we submitting the meaning of our lives to the mundane distractions of every day, the obligations, the demands, the issues of each day, recognition, money, making money, fulfilling the tasks of each day? Is this the meaning of our lives? Or is this something deeper and more profound? We're somehow suffocating the hunger of the soul through many, many obligations and distractions which make up the journey of a day. And somewhere we'll find there's a deep yearning inside of us to find a place of silence, to find a place where we can reflect on something more profound in our lives, something much deeper. The hungers of the Spirit. Now, a busy life and many things and keeping the laws of the church and following all these things are all very superficial unless we have somehow spoken to something much deeper, much more profound to give us meaning. It came to me that somehow this yearning of the soul, this hunger of the Spirit, is attached to relationships, but only in the measure in which we give, not take, in relationships. That somehow we begin to touch the meaning of life in the generosity of a relationship, not in its selfishness. A relationship which involves control or the imbalance of power, which is characterized by demand, obligation, even fear, destroys the beauty of the relationship. 50-50, that's a business contract. Now, some people in marriage think 50-50 is the way to do it. But when you have 50-50, you're always counting. It's never quite generous. I just want to make sure things are balanced right. It doesn't touch something far more generous and far more wonderful and mystical, which is deep, deep inside of us. Where you have control in a relationship, or you have fear in a relationship, somehow it is very destructive to the health, the well-being, and the growth which somehow relates to the hungers of the Spirit. And therefore, it came to me that sacrifice and suffering, freely accepted, Not the ones we choose. Not the ones we choose. But the ones which are dealt to us in life somehow, we might think unfairly, that the sacrifices and the sufferings which are accepted and gifted to another is the formula for true inner freedom. That's freedom, the freedom of discipleship, the freedom of the Spirit. I mentioned last Sunday that I went to Auschwitz this summer. So I have read Elie Wiesel and Viktor Frankl and various survivors of the Holocaust. Viktor Frankl wrote this, speaking about suffering. He begins by quoting Dostoevsky, who said, "There is a one thing in life that I dread, not being worthy of my sufferings." Dostoevsky. Frankl goes on to say, "These words frequently came to my mind after I became acquainted with those martyrs whose behavior in Auschwitz, whose suffering and death bore witness to the fact that the last inner freedom cannot be lost. They were worthy of their sufferings, the way they bore their sufferings with a genuine inner achievement of freedom. It is this spiritual freedom which cannot be taken away and which makes life meaningful and purposeful." It's an extraordinary prayer. It's worth thinking about. Mother Teresa was canonized today. She is to be known as Saint Teresa of Calcutta. Somebody asked me, is she Saint Mother Teresa? No, she's just Saint Teresa. We have Saint Teresa of Avila, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, and we have Teresa of Calcutta. Now, you read in the newspapers about some critics of hers, and notice that all those who were critics of Mother Teresa all lived in luxury. They didn't live in the slums of Calcutta or in the slums of Haiti. It was very convenient and easy to stand back and make these judgments. I remember on one occasion when I was in Calcutta, and Mother Teresa said to me, asked me if I'd give some retreats to their nuns while I was there, which I did. And she said, remember this, if a young woman comes to join our community, the Missionaries of Charity, in order to serve the poor, I will send her home. But if she comes in order to become poor and serve the poor, then we will take her. You can't hand it down. You must become. You must share the suffering. You must belong to the crisis of the other person in order to serve the other person. And she would say to me, go home. Send me home. Go home. Your Calcutta is not here. Your Calcutta is at home. Here you will learn, but at home you will serve. Each morning at Mass at Circular Road, the place, the mother house of the Missionaries of Charity, I would say Mass there. And young persons, young men and women, volunteers from all over the world, they would come to Mass with the nuns in the morning. And they were cheerful. They were free. They were happy. They were living in the slums. They were serving the poor. But they were joyful because somehow it fed their souls. Their sacrifice somehow enriched them. Now, they were not there to stay. They were there for a while in order to learn, in order to be able to tell the story in the manner in which they will live when they go home. So, my friend, what's your burden in your life? Why are you anxious? What conflict are you carrying that somehow weighs upon you? What freedom are you missing in your life? Joseph Heller in his book says, count your blessings and be grateful. If you concentrate on what you do not have, you will never have enough. So should I be satisfied? Should I be peaceful? Should I be free? A call to discipleship, to say, your freedom is where you are. Your freedom is the child of your generosity. Your freedom is the grace given to you when you give more than you take. When you bless more than you judge. When you forgive more than you withhold, then that's the freedom of discipleship. That's detachment. And this is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.